Good morning.
Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Indeed. The message this morning addresses the question, should we love the world? And the answer may be different than you thought. And our text this Lord's Day is 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or one from the pew rack in front of you as I read 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. May God add His blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. John begins this passage with a clear command. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Why can we not love the world? The Bible tells us in John 3:16 that God loved the world. So why cannot we do so? Well, in order to answer this question, one must understand that the word world is used with several different meanings in the scripture. The word world is used in the Bible, one, to refer to the created world, the world created by God, refer to two, the lost people, and three, to the world system under the evil influence of Satan. In John 3:16, the word world is used in the sense of lost people. For God so loved the lost people that He gave His only Son. But in our text, it is used in the latter sense, in the sense of a world system under the evil influence of Satan. In John, 1 John 5, verse 19, we read, "We know that we are children of God and that the world is under the control of the evil one." So John tells us in our text, he in fact commands us to not fall in love with the world, meaning the world system under the influence of Satan. And make no mistake about it, there is no middle ground on this issue. We know this from other texts. We know this from other sermons I've given from this pulpit. We know this from studying our Sunday school class, that either you love God or you love the world. You cannot love both. John teaches us, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, it is impossible for us to serve two masters. And James says basically the same thing in his gospel when he says, friendship with the world is hatred toward God. John's commands in the text indicates that not loving the world is to be a way of life for the believer in Christ. However, sometimes Christians become too attached to the things in the world. And Pastor Steve Dow calls such attachment the Demas syndrome. It is the disease of falling in love with the world, is what he calls it. And he calls it such because Demas, who was a fellow worker with Paul in Rome, fell in love with the world, turned his back on Paul and left him. In fact, in his second letter to Timothy, Paul writes about Demas. Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. How do we know if we have the Demas syndrome? Well, in verse 16 of our text, if you were listening and following along, John provides us three symptoms of this spiritually deadly disease that Pastor Dow refers to. First, carnality is a symptom of Demas syndrome. Carnality is a synonym for the craving of sinful man. The Revised Standard Version of the Bible refers to such behavior as the lust of the flesh. And flesh is another word which has multiple meanings. Flesh can be used to refer to our physical bodies, and it can also refer to the sinful nature with which all men are born. And we can see both meanings here. The most obvious meaning is the sinful nature of man, the carnality of man. When we indulge in our sinful nature, we, like the world, fall under the influence of sin and Satan. Now, the less obvious meaning of the word flesh refers to our physical body or its needs and appetites. Our bodies have many needs and desires, such as food and drink and love and sex and shelter and so forth. And these desires in and of themselves are perfectly fine. However, it is when these desires and needs can become sins, it's when they are taken to extremes or perverted. For example, the need for food, when it's taken to its extreme, becomes gluttony. The God-given desire for sex becomes adultery when it is perverted by being directed towards someone other than our spouse. If we are indulging these types of cravings, we are in danger of developing the Demas syndrome. The cravings of the flesh can be so strong. The craving for alcohol, the craving for drugs, we've heard people talk about that it's as if you could never, ever overcome those cravings. But the good news is Jesus set an example for us when he was tempted in the same way. You recall the Bible tells us that he had been fasting in the wilderness for 40 days when Satan came to him. And one of the first things he says to Jesus is, "Turn these stones into bread if you are the Son of Man in order to satisfy your hunger." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We must understand that the purpose of our life is not to gratify our cravings, but to do the will of our Heavenly Father. Covetousness is another symptom of Demas syndrome. Covetousness is the lust of one's eyes, is the desire to have everything we see. And advertisers know this all too well. I've talked to my son-in-law, who is in one of the largest advertising agencies on the East Coast, about how they depict products and the things they do to make them look attractive to us. And they all understand all too well the concept of making it attractive to us. They flash images on the television screens of cars and colas and clothes and cell phones and so forth, which are designed to make us covet what they are selling. They are designed to make us think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. So we will do almost anything to obtain those items that advertisers say is on the other side. But we all know what the problem is. Even though we keep going back and looking on the other side, keep going to the other side, we all know that the items on the other side are not as good usually as the items we have, as the possessions we have. They are never as, we are never satisfied with what's on the other side. We left feeling empty and unsatisfied, and as a result, we covet even more. The burger at the pickup window is never as big and juicy as the one they advertise on television. The ring in the catalog is not as sparkly as it looked on the nice colored page. The truth is, grass is not any greener on the other side of the fence. And as I said, often what is on the other side is not as good as what we already have. Jesus had to face this temptation to covet. Also, Satan showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world and told him that he would give them to him if Jesus would but bow down and worship Satan. And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus recognized that indulging oneself in materialism was actually worshiping the possessions. And so to worship the things of this world is to worship the one to whom they belong. So the essence of materialism is to worship Satan, because the world belongs to Satan. We are told that in God's word. Satan, as I said just previously, offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world because Satan was in charge of them. And Jesus knew that, but he said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and him only." Cockiness is a symptom of Demas syndrome. And cockiness, as referred to in our text, is the boasting of what one has or does. The behavior of cockiness consists of two actions. One, boasting about the possessions you have, and two, boasting about your accomplishments. If we are proud and boast about either our possessions in life or our positions in life, then we are exhibiting symptoms of and may be developing Demas syndrome. This type of pride causes us to put our faith in ourselves and not in God. And therefore, such pride will ultimately cut us off from the grace of God, because God's grace is received through faith alone. We must have faith in order to receive God's grace. And when we don't rely on God, when we don't have faith in him, when we have faith in ourselves and what we can do for ourselves, then we cut ourselves off from God's grace. And the Bible clearly teaches us that cockiness or pride will lead to our downfall. So it should be no surprise to us that Jesus also was tempted to be cocky. Satan dared Jesus to show off by leaping from the highest temple in Jerusalem, his point being that if Jesus was the Son of God, then nothing would happen to him. God would send angels to catch him and gently lower him to the ground. And Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." If we have been blessed with possessions, if we have been blessed with accomplishments and given positions in life, then we must be careful not to put our confidence in them, because our text tells us in verse 17 that they will not last. As Jimmy told us in the Sunday school opening this morning, Peter wrote about the one day the world and all the things of the world will be destroyed by fire. So if we have lived our life only for the things of the world, what will we have on that day? Nothing. Nothing. If we have lived solely for the things of this world, God's world tells us that one day the world and all things in it are going to be destroyed by fire. So we would have nothing. Missionary Jim Elliot, who was one of four missionaries killed trying to witness to a tribe in Ecuador that were cannibals, headhunters, said that he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot gain to keep that which he cannot lose. Let me read that again. He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep, meaning worldly possessions, money, cars, clothes. You can't keep them, because when you die, they're going to stay on this earth and eventually deteriorate, and our soul is going to either be in heaven or hell. So he is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose, to gain salvation. Think about that. This verse tells us that we shall share in the destiny of whatever we worship in life. If we give ourselves to the world, then we shall burn in the lake of fire of hell in eternity. If we give our lives to God, then we shall enjoy paradise for all eternity. Are you living for eternity or for the present? Are you more concerned about laying up treasures for retirement or for heaven? Are you more concerned about what people will think of you today or what God will think about you on Judgment Day? I pray for all of you several times a week. I pray for the congregation of this church. We all need prayers. But I know there are a lot of you who are playing church. You know, you come to church when it's convenient. You come and you serve on committees that don't take up too much time, or you serve on committees and you come when you want to, when something you want to do doesn't interfere. You are loving the world. And the question we've answered today is, or the answer to the question of the day is, we should not love the world. That God should be first. Because the things of the world will be consumed one day. And we will be consumed with them and spend eternity in hell if we don't give God first place. Every verse I referred to in this message indicated that God should be served. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. All of these verses indicate that we ought to serve the Lord. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So this morning I implore you, if you are a believer, that you get back on the right path. If you've backslidden and you've started loving the world and putting God in second place, maybe even in third place, ask Him to forgive you. Get back on the right track. And if you have not accepted His gift of salvation, if you are serving the world completely and not thinking about serving God, I implore you to let the Holy Spirit convict you and work on you. And we invite you to come forward and accept that gift of salvation as we sing a hymn of invitation. That hymn is number 134, Jesus Paid It All.